by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. It's still by faith, and it's always by faith. God framed the worlds by faith, and that's the same out of us. Hallelujah. I hope you excuse me tonight. As I text most of y'all probably got that I dropped the desk on my foot the other day. And my toe is pretty bruised up. So I'm going to probably preach without shoes on. Hope you don't mind. It's about twice as big as it used to be. So, and not in a good way. Not in a good way. But Lord is gracious. It's a little bit better than when I dropped that 45-pound plate on my foot. That was a little bit worse than this. But it's still pretty tender. I was actually on the phone with the attorney when it happened, so I had to kind of, oh man, oh, don't hang up yet. I'm sorry, dropped dust on my foot. A student's dust, that is. Anyways, let's get into the word tonight. Galatians chapter 1. How many enjoys the word of God? Amen. All those aside, that's why we came here tonight, is to hear his word and let the Spirit come bring life to it. Amen. Sink it into our hearts. Galatians 1, and I'll try to wrap up this first chapter here today. So we'll start at verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and to abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by faith unto the church of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Still in the Galatians book of corrections, I'd like to speak tonight on a living testimony. A living testimony. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. The needs on your heart, let's lift them up to God now. Believing that all things truly are possible to them that believe. Just the way that you pray, invite the Lord in this service. Blessed Jesus, how we thank you for gathering us again tonight. How we're so grateful, Lord, that we have a desire to serve you, that, Lord, in this dark life that we have to live here, there's been a light shine in our path and bring us out of all the darkness that this world has. Lord, you're so much greater. What a marvelous light you've given us in this hour to give us the truth, to give us the revelation, to give us the word that would prepare us for your coming. We're so grateful, Lord, that we have ears to hear these things and eyes to see the things that we've seen, Lord. We're the most blessed people on the earth. And I pray tonight you give us a grateful heart to recognize that. That the great things you've done for us, Lord, they're just innumerable, Lord. If we would try to write a book, it would fill the sky. Lord, you've been so good and so mindful of us. Have your way tonight, we pray. You that know the thoughts of every heart, may you just come on the scene and meet the needs of the people. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for the blood that was shed for us. And we pray one more time, we plead it over our lives. Lord, wash us clean, that the Holy Spirit might be able to speak and us be able to listen. We love you, Lord. We commit the service now to your hands. Bring life to this word and to every heart that's here. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. A living testimony. Even Paul, as we've been backdropping many times and probably saved about every service, he was starting to struggle with his influence on the Galatians. They began to think that maybe they knew a little bit better than the prophet of God did. They knew a little bit better than the revealed word did. But Paul came around and let them know right away that though we or an angel from heaven preach anything else, let him be accursed. Because what I have preached, Paul speaking, what I have preached was not given by man. It was the revelation of Jesus Christ. And brother, sister, the same gospel that Paul brought to that first church has been restored back to us in this last days. And the same voice has come around Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. The revelation we have is the same one that was given at the beginning. That's why we need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Hallelujah. That's why I'm so glad you don't have to be in a cult to be in the message. Why? We've had it the same word the whole time. Amen. We're the only part of the Christendom that's not in a cult. That's right, because we believe the word by itself. And it's so hard to explain that to anybody in Christendom at all, isn't it? They say, what kind of Christian are you? You say, well, I don't know what to tell you. I'm one. And they say, what about this, that, or the other? No, I don't got nothing to do with any of that. Like I told you before, in one way, of course, we're the message church. We understand that we believe the message of the hour. But in another way, denominationally speaking and in hearing, has nothing to do with it. You can be a message believer every day of your life and still go to hell. I don't have nothing to do with it. It's a real experience, but it comes from the Word. Now, every experience has to start with a confession. And I've had a kind of a thought building on this, and I've been praying over it. And I love how God just orchestrates everything so perfectly. But every Christian experience must start with a confession of the Word of God. It cannot start on a confession of your own thoughts or your own feelings or your own circumstances. All those have to fade away for you to become a real Christian. It has to be, I believe what the Word says. Hallelujah. As Romans, again, if you're writing these down, that'd be great. But Romans 10, 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, and I'm going to get to this in a minute. Anybody can just say words. Right. But a true confession, you have to start there, and you got to say it, and you got to keep saying it, and your confession can't change until you get it. Amen. That's right. You have to believe until you get it. Right. That's why the atheist has such a hard time, because they want to see God do things and then believe. Well, Christendom is the exact opposite. You must believe, and then you'll get to see. Amen. Everything starts with the confession. I don't see, I don't taste it, I don't smell it, but by faith, you're just saying it, let's apply it. By faith, I believe this. With no evidence outside of that. The Christian, it starts there. It won't end there, don't worry, I ain't done tonight. But it must start there. You have to confess that you're saved before you ever get saved. You have to confess that you're forgiven before you ever feel forgiveness. You have to confess you've got the Holy Ghost before you ever get it. Come on, you have to confess your healing. You have to confess your deliverance. You have to confess that God hears your prayer. Otherwise, you're just beating it there. And there's nothing worse than someone claims God the Holy Ghost and never confesses the Word. Or it's the word, but, you know, my circumstance, which you just got rid of everything you said before that. Bring your circumstance first and say, but the Word. How about that? My life's falling apart, but God said all things work together for good. My body's sick and I can barely walk, but the Word said He's a God that hears all my prayers and that heals all my infirmities and all my diseases. Amen. Glory to God. As 1 John 4:15 said, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And people think what you say doesn't matter. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest, did you catch that? The way was made by his flesh, not yours. Glory to God. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Amen. Confession and profession, we know, are the same thing. They mean the exact. And hold fast to it, my brother. This is why you don't get your prayers. You won't hold on. And when things go wrong, we let go. Well, then God can't move. He can only be the high priest of your profession, of your confession. That's right. He can do nothing till you say he can. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, ideally, don't be a hypocrite and just say something and not believe it here. All right, we understand that. But you're a believer, I trust, tonight. And if you're a believer, then when you speak, you're only professing what you already have. Or what you already believe. Now, again, like I was saying, I was thinking about these things, and I had about three different thoughts that I thought would all kind of come together in some way. I'd be a preacher for a while. You understand what I'm saying? But you start, and I was just praying and seeking the Lord. And sure enough, on the way to school, well, it'd been 2 days ago, Brother Bram, I'm listening in 1960. I'm in April now, but he starts saying, and he literally, for the next 10 minutes from home to school, preaches exactly everything I was thinking about saying. And I said, well, I guess this is the way we ought to go on Wednesday night. But it comes out of the Queen of Sheba, 1960. Brother Bram says this. He says, if I could, my precious people, if I could, I'd come right down there and go through this building and heal everybody here. I would just love to do that. I believe you believe that. I would do it, but I can't. I can't do it. It's already done. Think about this. Jesus has did it. He can't forgive your sins. He's already forgive them. But now it won't do you any good until you accept it, you believe it, you say, yes, Lord, I accept what you did for me. Then you're saved. And then you say, I want you to heal me, Lord. He's already done it. Then you just have to accept what he's done. Now, he's the high priest, sitting at the right hand of God Almighty, making intercessions upon our confession or profession. It's the same word, so whatever. Now, he can't do nothing for us until we already say that he's done it. Amen. Man, that needs to change our minds, I think, here tonight. He can't do nothing for us till we already say that he's done it. We have to confess it or profess it that he's done it. And then we can go to work on it and make intercessions. Is that right, brother? Is that the scripture, making intercessions on our profession? Glory to God. Change our vocabulary tonight, Lord, to not be our opinions about things, not our feelings, not what we see, taste, smell, or hear. But your word declares it, and I'm confessing it. Amen. Why? Because you're faithful, that promise, Lord. Amen. And the liberty it gives to a Christian to realize that it's not your word on the line, but it's his. And if you judged him just like Sarah did, she judged him faithful, that promise. Get you out of it. Amen. It's not, oh man, I gotta hold on. It's, hey, he already did this. He already took the sins of the world upon him. He already took my sickness and my shame upon him. He already took every prayer request on Calvary's hill. Before you ask, he's already answered. Why? Because God answered all these things, all these problems in the eternal realms. Why does that mean significant? It never started. It never ended. This has always been his determination. But again, let's quote the prophet, it won't do you any good until you say it. Until you believe it. Until you confess it. Now, the Christian experience doesn't end with a confession, as many would like to teach us. That's why you get many Ricky's Rickettas. You get them in the message too, just the same. Come up and say, well, I believe this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be a good fella. And I remember one time I was at a camp, and you know how it is at camp means everybody gets saved. They say, I wish it was true, but it ain't always true. A lot of people just get enthused. But this man, young man, he's probably, I don't know, maybe 16, 17 years old. And I remember as we were leaving, he was talking about, you know, now I'm going to, I forget what he said, maybe let his hair or facial hair either shave it or grow it, one of the two. He's going to change, you know, and I'm going to do this and this. Why? Because now that I'm starting my new life, I want to change everything. And that's why I'm like, oh man, buddy, you're going to be struggling because you think this is your life. Christianity ain't about you changing your life. It's that somebody else's life has pushed your life on out. And sure enough, I hate to say it, but it's the truth. By and by, he's back out in the world. Why? That's not a conversion, brother, sister. That's just a confession that didn't get to a possession. See, a Christian that truly professes the word will become a possessor of the word. Hallelujah. You can say it, but that's not the end of it either. You don't just keep saying it and just hope, just say it and hope. That's how some people live. Just keep saying it. Maybe one day. No, there's a day where it becomes reality and God deposits in you. You can confess the Holy Ghost, but there comes a day when you receive it. And you have something. It's not something you're imagining. You know it's happened because why? It's real. Who you were is no longer. Glory to God. Healing works that way. You just know before a doctor can say anything, before your neighbors see it, something you just know, I possess my healing now. Amen. It started with a confession, but it don't end with no confession. It becomes a possession. Amen. it becomes something you can handle.
Yes.
The gospel is real.
Yes.
It's living.
Yes.
It's the only true living gospel there is. Now, the only time that works is when the Holy Ghost comes into a person's life, because He is the life giver. He is the possession you're looking for. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." There's got to be something in there to give the confession power. Do you understand? Anybody can say the words, "Jesus Christ is Lord. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." But see, somebody that's got a real confession and real faith, it will become a possession. And they'll be able to say, "I know He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Why? He walks in me and talks with me. I'm no longer the same." That's what the Holy Ghost is given for. Did you know that? It wasn't given for God. It was given for you.
Amen.
The seal of God, we know it's the Holy Spirit, but as far as God's side of it, you know what it is? The Lord knows them that are His.
Amen.
See, God sealed it because He knew it before the foundation of the world. He seals it to you when He gives you the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Your testimony's locked in.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Tomorrow can't change it.
Right.
Yesterday didn't determine it. But God knew them that were His.
Amen.
And whom He's called.
Amen.
Them He justified.
Amen.
Them He justified, He has already glorified. The Lord knows them that are His. Because Hebrews 10:14 says, "By one offering," 10:14, "He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. So that after He had said before, 'This is the covenant that I make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them.'"
Amen.
That's the covenant. What's the evidence you have the covenant? The Holy Ghost is.
Amen.
It started as a confession, but then it became a possession. That's why Paul says in Romans 4:9, "Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision?" Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. So the possession that he got, he actually by faith had it before he got it. That it has to start with a confession. I have what God says, even if I don't have it here, because I'm pulling from something out of time.
Yep.
Right.
Right.
Hallelujah. Now that has to drop.
Yeah,
yeah, we're going to get to James in a minute, but you've got to recognize you had to have it. You've got to confess it. You've got to reply it. And Abraham did that before he had any sign of the promise. He had no circumstance. He had nothing to validate it besides God said it, I believed it. And I confess the same. And he received, now watch. So he received, he had his faith when he was uncircumcised. But in verse 11 it says, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all of them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are of the circumcision, not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised."
Yes,
hallelujah. See, it didn't do no good for Abraham just say, "I'm going to have a son." He had to believe it until. He had to believe it until then it became evidence. But even the evidence, remember, who knew Sarah was pregnant? I'll tell you who did. God did. There's no sign of it, but God knew it. And at that moment, before a man could see anything, a believer knew he had it.
Amen.
His profession was a possession to himself before the world knew anything about it.
Amen.
Mary received seed without the world knowing anything about it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In God's eye, it was there, but God didn't declare it yet. See, until you've got to know you have the Holy Ghost before you'll ever give it to anybody else. You don't know, or shine it to anybody else. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. Holy Ghost. Well, that's true too. Anyways, Praise the Lord. Comes through the body. That's right. But God moves through the body. We understand these things. Token 64, Brother Branham said this, that a minister said to me one time, said, Brother Branham, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. I said, that's true. He said, what more can a man do but believe? I said, that's exactly right. Then where do you get this Holy Ghost outside of believing? I said, but he give him the seal of circumcision as a confirmation of his faith. Amen. And if he has never given you the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet, then he hasn't confirmed your faith that you say you have. But the token is the confirmation. I say, I got the money. I paid the office down there. But you got to show the token. That's right. When I show the token, I got a right. And when I can show the token of the Holy Spirit, you've got the right to any purchased thing that Jesus Christ died for. It's the token. Watch just a minute as we close. Hold the token over your unwavering faith in the promised word. So that confession that you made when you received the Holy Ghost, hold it over it. And say it must come, because the same God that filled me came with benefits.
Amen.
Came with healing, came with deliverance. You weren't just here to just get saved and then die. God wanted you to possess these things now. That's right. It's the very down payment of heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's the token. Hold the token over your unwavering faith in the promised word. I believe that Jesus said, ask the Father anything in my name. I'll do it. Hold your token over that promised word and walk right to it.
Amen.
I'm the Lord that heals all thy diseases. He was wounded for my transgressions. With his stripes, I am healed. Take my token of the Holy Spirit that's in me. Hold it over my prayer and say, Lord God, you promised it. When I see the token, I will reward you. I promise to do it. He can't do nothing else. He looked right through the blood of his own son. There is the token applied. He has to do it because he promised it.
Amen.
Do you know there's some things God can't do? God can't lose.
Amen.
That's right. God can't disbelieve his own word. That's right. And God can't lie.
Amen.
So everything he's promised is coming to pass.
Amen.
Now it's whether you believe it or not. It's whether you'll confess it or not. It's whether you'll hold on to it until it comes to be. It's willing to stand the test of time. See, anybody can confess tonight, and if God just drops down in a couple minutes, all right, praise the Lord. But see, that's not our father. Our father was Abraham. And Abraham received the promise after he was long past the years it should have ever been able to happen. Maybe God came to you and saved you way long past your prime. Doesn't matter. He had a reason for it, didn't he? God let him stagger through. Remember, he even gave over to his wife and backslid. That's right. But God was working that out the whole time. But he held on to the promise the whole time. That's what the Bible declares. He knew, I'm going to have a son, and it's coming by the promise, not by my flesh. Brothers, sisters, it's the same with the believers in this hour. We know no matter what you do or don't do, and that's why I believe I've been hitting on it so hard, that's not the rapture. He is the rapture.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's not an event. It's a person.
Yes.
And that person that's in you is the same life of the one that's calling.
Yes.
It's Adam meeting Adam all over again.
Yes.
And he did say, whoa, man, didn't he? We say woman, but he said, whoa, man. I believe the Lord is wanting to see you so bad. I wish you'd understand how bad the pressure you feel when you sin and fall short of the glory of God and backslide on God. The pressure you feel had nothing to do with you. It's his intense love to get back in fellowship with you again.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Why do I know that? Because he that chose me can't unchoose me.
Yes.
He that told me these promises can't take it back. He that said, if I had the token, I'm going in. Then that means what I've got now will take me in. It's all right to have a little joy about it too. Brothers and sisters, what does the scripture tell you? That's why you're so weak, because joy is your strength. And when you refuse to have joy, joy ain't happiness. Joy is, I know that word's right. Joy is, I can rejoice because it's coming. See, when you have faith, it produces joy. Do you think that Paul and Silas were having a great time, real happy in jail? Do you think they were loving every minute as they felt the bars on their hands and their feet and dehydrated and hungry? You think they were having all kinds of happiness? No, but they had joy. Because they knew the God that called us to be here tonight. You might have came to church in chains. I don't know. But he called you to be here tonight. How about you get a little joy in your heart, believe in the promise, and watch the chains just fall off. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength, my brother. Amen. And if you feel like you got to fake it, then I wonder if you're a believer or not. Because a Christian doesn't have to manufacture joy. It's part of it. Amen. You don't have to manufacture peace. The Prince of Peace lives. You don't have to manufacture love. It's already in you all the time. For God is love. Hallelujah. So we have to make a profession of faith. Then God responds back to us and gives us a possession. But I'm here to tell you, that ain't the end of the story. Because then we might as well just go off and be monks and huddle by ourselves. That ain't what God gave you the Holy Ghost for. He gave you the Holy Ghost to turn that possession into a proclamation. Yes. What a living testimony that can be seen. That's why I said we go to Abraham, but don't just read Romans. Make sure you read James as well. Can we read it right now? Let's read it right now before I get ahead of myself. James chapter 2. Let me take a drink. James chapter 2, and again, you can read the whole chapter if you want all the context, but I'm going to start in verse 17. James chapter 2 and verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So here's a man who can say, not only do I believe this, not only do I possess it, but I can show it. Amen. And I don't believe these men to be idols. I believe them to be examples. Amen. I don't believe it to be extra credit to be up with the apostles. I believe it to be the quota for any believer. That we should be able to say, I can show my faith by my works. It's not just an empty confession. That's what James is getting at. He says, thou believest there is one God. Thou believest that God sent a prophet. Thou believest in serpent seed. Thou believest in water baptism in Jesus' name. Throw it all in there, brother. It's more than that. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But what will thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father? Amen. Now remember, the same God that wrote about Abraham in Romans 4 is writing about Abraham again in James 2. And if you believe the God of the Bible, then those two stories mean the same story. They're not contradicting each other. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. So here's the point. You can say you believe it. And if you're a real believer, God has already counted it for righteousness to you, because he knows the end from the beginning, and he knows you really do believe it. But God does not let people walk in empty confessions. He proves himself. So that confession, as we said, becomes a possession. One day Abraham became a possession because all of a sudden his body got young. All of a sudden his wife got young. All of a sudden they had relations again and there was a baby on the way. It became a possession. Then that child became born, and now you didn't have to, you could go show it. And at the same time, God said, you know what? I'm going to destroy that. But Abraham had a living testimony. He believed God so much that he let it live. He had a proclamation that God promised me not just his son. Some of us are missing it. He didn't promise him Isaac. He said, I will make thy seed as the stars and as the sand. So he knew the promise can't stop with Isaac. He's merely the beginning. And the Holy Ghost you have now isn't the whole promise. It's just the beginning. Glory to God. So to proclaim that faith, what did Abraham do? He went up to the mountain. He obeyed God and said, I will sacrifice what God told me. Convinced in his heart, see, God knew his faith, but now the faith was proclaiming. Amen. He had a possession. The son was standing there, but now the faith proclaimed, I can't even kill him because God promised it. Amen. And he was fully persuaded. He didn't know how it was going to work, but he was fully persuaded after he stubbed that knife right down his son's chest that he'd pull it out and somehow it just, he'd be fine. He was convinced that God would raise him from the dead. You see, that's more than just a confession. That's more than just saying, God healed me one time 20 years ago. That's something that it lives. It's a living testimony. And when more trials come, it just keeps living and it just proclaims. Yes, it was professed. Yes, then it was possessed. But now it's proclaimed. Hallelujah. And it's the same for us, brother, sister. Yes, your experience has to start. As far as God sees it, you are justified the second you believe and you say it from your heart. I believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God who died for me and took my place. God recognizes righteousness. But then he wants to justify you where? To the whole world. I'll say it the way I believe it. He wants to show you off. He wants to show Satan, just like he did Job, you can't beat me. He tried to beat him head on. That didn't work, did it? Got kicked out of heaven. That didn't work out well. But he said, I'll beat his servants. And he said, you won't beat them either. He said, I know Job. He's a perfect man. Excuse evil. He loves good. He said, yeah, it's because you bless him all the time. He says, oh, go ahead, try it. And you wonder why you're under the pressure you are. This has to be the greatest age. So you can't think that Job's got it harder than we did or David and all these things. This has to be the hour that the victory is given. Do you understand? Hallelujah. And I believe with all my heart, as much as we have the torments of the devil and everything else, there's so much glory of God going on that if we could just let God open up our eyes, if we could just confess his word, if we could just possess the Holy Ghost, if we could just start proclaiming that word, we'd recognize he's in every place, everywhere, all the time, proclaiming that he's alive. Yes. Glory to God. Who in the world would have picked an attorney that had a father as a minister? He would.
Amen.
That's just the simplest example I could think of off the top of my head. But we all know he's proved himself to be there all the time. We know these promises, but I'm going to read them to you again because I believe you to be believers. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall proclaim. These signs shall follow them that believe, and I'm going to read them all. In my name, they shall cast out devils. That's speaking about me. That's speaking about you. You feel that faith starting to come in and say, you know what? If I've got the Holy Ghost, that means I'm possessing this right now. And God wants to proclaim it. Why do we act like he don't want to do these things? You think God wants you to have a devil? You're deluded, my brother. He wants it gone.
Amen.
In my name, they shall cast up devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And I'm still not ashamed of it.
Amen.
They shall take up serpents. Say, where do we got the snakes? Remember, Brother Man said, you didn't go find serpents. Christians don't go picking fights, but when fights come, they don't back down.
Amen.
Hallelujah, because he'll stand for us. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after he had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
Amen.
We need more believers now that are able to proclaim amen. That I've got it. I'm a believer. You a believer tonight? There's a good confession. You received the Holy Ghost. There's a possession. Now it's time to say it's time to proclaim because God's in me and he wants to work with me. That these signs would follow. Not for your own. That's why motive and objective is so important, because if you're trying to proclaim yourself, you're not proclaiming him and there's no promise of that. But if you're proclaiming what God has placed in you, then he's there to make every promise right. As the prophet said, he will bankrupt heaven before he lets one of these promises fall to the ground. There's plenty more of these promises, but I just got another one here. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Zacchaeus the businessman, 1963, says, you can never get a true look at Jesus Christ and ever remain the same. There is something about him that's different from all other men. When you ever hear him speak, you'll be like the Roman soldiers. Never a man spake like this man. The priest spoke of something. Man has still got the same nature. We have it today. Man has always been praising God for what he did do, looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he is doing. That's just the nature of man. It's always been that nature. But when a man once looked Jesus Christ, he'll never be the same. Can see him manifested. That's the reason when you're sealed with the Holy Ghost, the seal is on both sides of the paper, both coming and going. They can see the walk, the talk, the life of Christ reflecting in his people. That was his purpose of death, that the church might continue his work. That's the reason he laid his life down, that he could so sanctify a people that they that are sanctified and he that sanctifies would be one. And the same work he was doing, he wants to continue it in you. Hallelujah. I didn't bring it out. Steve, go to my office and get, I have a sermon laying out, I think. Or did I put it in my Bible? I put it in my Bible. I got it, brother. Praise the Lord. I was just reading this as well. That's what I'm saying. I've just seen the hand of the Lord all over this tonight. He said, we've had earthquakes in diverse places and all those things. The sign of this time, 1963. He says, all those things with the gifts of the Spirit has returned back to the church. We've had all these different manifestations, great healing services and things showing. That's all signs. But the last sign just before the Gentiles were burned was the sign God manifested in human flesh, right? And Jesus said that will be at his return. We ought to be careful now and really get right with God. Be sure that you're right now. They were to the Jews was always to rely upon their signs, you know of that. Instead of the theology and lectures, they had to rely upon signs because, listen now, the true, real believer always believes that God is a God of power. Amen. And where God is, signs has got to happen. Amen. You see, it's just like pounding a piece of steel hot on an anvil. You see, sparks has got to fly. It reflects. And everywhere God is, it also, there is signs and wonders. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. The ministry throughout the world. See, these signs shall follow them. Always signs. God always gives signs like he did in the beginning, and he gives them to every generation at the end. Hallelujah. These signs are for us. He gave it to us, and every true believer must believe that. A little bit later, he says, but remember the God that was in Elijah on Mount Carmel, he is still God today, just the same. And I've seen him before, literally hundreds of thousands of people do it. See witch doctors by the score standing there and challenge you and watch the Holy Spirit, what he does. See, you've read the books and you know and signed statements of what God does. He is still God. He is obligated to his word. Now, he's not obligated to your desires. He is obligated to his own word. Amen. Glory to God, Christian friends. His desire to his own word. He's the one that made those promises. He wants to heal our sick. He wants to supernaturally manifest himself every service. I don't know why I want it to be common for people to come in sick and leave healed. Amen. I want it to be common for people that have devils to be delivered before they get out. Amen. I want it to be common that when we have hardships and marital problems or whatever else, domestic problems, church problems, I believe that we should come with it and leave without it. Amen. Why? Because he's the same now. And he don't have to do it my way or my thinking or my feelings about it. But Lord, I believe your promise word. I'm going to confess it. Yes. I'm going to confess it, Lord, that you hear my prayers. I'm going to confess it that I'm healed tonight. I'm going to confess it that you know my problem and that I can't fix it, but you will. Yes. I confess it. Yes. And then faith begins to pulsate. As a real believer keeps confessing that word, not as some ritual, but something pounding out of the heart. And then something will happen. You know, God lets it happen. He let things fall apart for Job. He let things fall apart for David. He lets it happen to Abraham. Why? To see, to prove to himself, I did, my word will prove it. The word that I planted will come. And that position begins to pulse. And you stand like Peter. When the things get hard and there's nobody wants to follow the Lord. And you watch all your buddies walk away. And you're standing there with just 12 out of a multitude. And you turn to Jesus and he looks you right in the eyes and says, you going to go too? Didn't explain the word to him. Didn't say, oh, here's what's going on, boys. He said, you going to leave too right in the middle of the trial? Is it too much pressure for you? I believe the same eyes have gone over the earth in this Laodicean age and began to say, are you going too? That pastor left, you going too? Everything you've doubted, somebody's got some reason why it's that way. You going to go too? You going to believe the word of some man or what the prophet said about it? You going to go too? And a true believer can look him right back and say, Lord, I don't understand anything. But there's one thing I know. You have the words of eternal life. I know what this word did to me. I know it did what church never did. I know what it did what the first church of God never could do to me. I know what it could do that just reading my Bible didn't do. I needed somebody to show me who he was. And God sent us a witness of a man who could turn his back and says, this ain't William Branham. This is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. A witness in the last days that he lives. This wasn't a man that just said he believed it. This isn't a man that just had a conversion one day and knew he had it. This is a man who proclaimed it time and time and time again, everywhere. It wasn't done in no corner. Why do you think these devils never showed up until he was dead for years? Because they were counting in the back, taking notes, scared to death to get close to that. They did the same thing to Jesus when the Holy Ghost was on him. And that right said, what are you doing here? They were fine as long as Jesus stayed away a little while. They didn't mind hanging out with Legion as long as Jesus was over there. But the second he got a little close to Legion began to get scared. You're supposed to be packing the same club now. Who wants to proclaim against the same devils? What are you doing here? What are you doing here in the presence of God? And them legions said, oh, what are you here for? To torment us before the time? They know judgment's coming. The devil's the only one who's talked himself out of it. Do you realize that?
Right.
He's a deceiver, but he's so deceptive he deceived himself.
Right. That's it.
It's the only way for him to be this crazy this long. You know somebody that keeps losing a billion times and blames everything but himself? You know where they got it from? They got it from the devil.
Amen.
But I believe the fallen angels know where they're going.
Yes.
They know they've already lost. Because every time they get sent on a job and the Lord shows up, they lose.
Amen.
I want him. I want devils to plead, saying, don't send me to Andrew's house tonight. Don't send me over to that true tabernacle. Please don't. Now, I'm not just saying that for a nice little story. I believe the same devils that were there in the presence of the Son of God are still here now and want to see what you're going to do by it. The devil will take up a challenge until it comes to showdown, then he's ready to leave. But as long as you're a confession, he'll take you up. As long as it's just a possession that you have and nobody else knows about it, he'll take you up. He'll try to talk you out of that. But when it begins to proclaim outside and the whole world can see it, he's ready to hit the high road. Hallelujah. I think tonight it's time to let our faith loose a little bit. I think we've caged it up too much with our own thinking and our own methods and even there, our own desires. You know what? You think you want healed? How much is his desire for you to be healed? He proved it by walking up Calvary's Hill and giving his life. So you might think it's your desire, but he proved it was his. Come on. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? You're so convinced that you're lusting after things that he promised he wanted to do. This ain't the same as walking out of here and say, God, I know you provided me a 2012 or 2015, but can I have a 2019? See, then you know you're not going to receive that. Why? You can't even confess it. There's no promise for that.
Right.
Well, it's whatever we desire. Yeah, in your heart. You know that ain't in your heart. That's out here.
Right.
But your heart wants the glory of God.
Yes.
Your heart wants to say to your neighbors, yes, I was sick. Yes, the doctor said I was going to die. But here I am.
Yes.
And I'm here to tell you who did it. His name is Jesus.
Yes.
And he lives.
Yes.
There's no disgrace in that. Hallelujah. Let's let our faith loose tonight and let God's testimony flow through. Let a living testimony come out of your life. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:2, ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. It proclaimed, didn't it? And this was the other quote again from that same sermon I told you I was listening to on the way to school. Brother Ram says, it's Queen of Sheba, 1960. He says, now the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, now we have some of the best scholars in the world tonight sitting here in the book of Hebrews that it's written that he is a high priest now ever living, making intercessions upon our confessions. And he's also a high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. We could touch him with our infirmities. Do you see why Paul said, I glory in my infirmities? That the power of Christ might rest on me? He didn't look at the infirmities as something that was going to downcast him. He was looking and said, oh my, God's going to come by. God's going to hear my prayer. God's going to get the glory again. Time to change or renew our thinking, isn't it? Let God transform our mind out of this world back into his promises. Hallelujah. We could touch him with our infirmity. Then he is the high priest. He that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Then if he's the same, Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now he said, the works that I do shall you also. Now what works did he do to make the people to understand that he was the Messiah? That's a good question. See, because he showed them the sign of a prophet that he was Messiah. That's how God did it then. It's the way he did it now. Amen. He hasn't changed. They knew it because Moses said that he would be a prophet. How many understands that? How many knows that Jesus said in John 5:19, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing. Then Jesus himself, the word is true. He never did one miracle until God showed him a vision of what to do. How about it? That's right. A vision of what to do. Talk about visions. This brother, translator here, was telling me today that about 40% of the Bible is visions. And he said, he made a beautiful illustration, said, pin your arm up and don't use it for a few months and find out what happens. It got so weak that it can't be used. That's what the church has done with these things, with all the gifts of God. You just pin them up. They're not usable. See, let them loose. Exercise faith. Get some muscles in it. Let me tell you, faith has got hair on its chest. When faith speaks, everything else sets down. That's right. That's right. When it speaks, everything else shuts up. Hey, prophet said it. I still believe it. Now, if Jesus is a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, then do you figure you're out there that doesn't have a prayer card? Do you believe you could touch his garment tonight? Do you believe you could? Now, if you get real hysterical and say, let me hurry. Let me try it. No, you're going to lose it right there. See, faith is so simple. You don't know you have it. What? I'll show you what he says. He says, that's right. It's just a gift. It's just say, well, can you touch that Bible? Sure. How do you know you can? Only by faith. Because it's just become so common to me, I just reach out and get it. How'd I did that by faith. Well, that's the way faith is. It's just so simple you can reach out and get it. Now you believe. Amen. Hallelujah. It's that simple. Why do you ever think every step you take is not conscious, is it? You just do it. Why? Your faith is already, you so possess that faith and have proclaimed it so many times, it's second nature to you. That's the way it ought to be, brother, when you see a sickness. Not just on you, on your family, on your coworker. There's something moves on you. And you begin to, you know what? We get healed. That's what we do. You say, you know what? We pray and we ask God and God answers. And you've proclaimed it so many times, you just walk over there and say, well, do you mind if I lay hands on you? In the name of Jesus. Right. And you just walk on. You don't even worry about it. You know they're going to be fine. Right. But see how we've got away from that. We've got away from just letting God proclaim himself. Because we think we're proclaiming ourselves. Right. No, you know who you were. Right. You know what you used to be. Yes, sir. Right. Hallelujah. I've been having something just pulsate in my heart. And sometimes I don't appreciate where things come from. I think you can relate. Sometimes the source, you're like, well, I don't know about this. But this one really did something to me. There's a quote, it's something along these lines. Wouldn't it be great if we could recognize the good old days while they were happening and really enjoy them? Wouldn't it be great if we could recognize the good old days while they were happening and enjoy it? Some of us have a good old days religion even tonight. You think back to the good old days. Maybe you're a child or something back here. And brother, you talking about good old days? Right. We're living in the good old days right now. Yes. Can I be open man alive? What a presence. Yes. Holy Spirit's here. Yes.
Brother Warren, those weren't the good old days when you laid praying, was it, brother? And you were thinking about that one over there and saying, God, what am I going to do? Look at some of these. I done this, I did this, and I knew better than that. But Lord, that's my daughter. And I don't know what to do. The lonely nights, they weren't the good old days. Now's the good old days. She's sitting there. How about you, sis, when you were coming to church and that man was out doing who knows what? This ain't no shame to either one of you, brothers. But God heard them prayers. Good old days. He's a trustee here. How about a year ago when this man didn't even come to this place? Hallelujah. And 16 years ago, none of us had even heard of this thing. And this word comes back to my dad. He says, what am I going to do? I've went out in the world. I married this woman. We got this kid together. I've got my sons. I've got this daughter. I don't know what to do with this. Those weren't the good old days. The good old days are now because we got the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And we're serving God. Yeah. It's the good old days now. Yeah. Some of y'all ought to be dead. We've said it service after service. But God, bring it back to life. These are the good old days now. God is manifesting His bride in such a way. I could go across this room. You remember being on a bar stool with your hair down all the way down your back? Those weren't the good old days. The good old days are now when you're free from sin. Good old days weren't when Sister Frieda used to come to church by herself. Those weren't the good old days. Good old days are now, brother. And all them saints are waiting on us. But see, you got to make those the good old days. Are you hearing me tonight? None of those things just happen. They were confessed. Amen. They were professed. Yes. Then they became possessed. And then they manifested. Yes. And tonight, your promise might not be manifested yet. But can you at least stand up and say, I'm going to confess it. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to believe it. I don't care what your prayers. Possess it tonight. Say, Lord, I profess your word. Right now. Lord, fill my heart with the promise. Yes. And I will hold on until you bring it to pass. Yes. Glory to God. Yes. Glory to God. Oh, praise His holy name tonight. That's it, children. Worship Him. Receive the promise. Don't confess anything but that promise here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Oh, blessed be His holy name. Blessed be His holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be His holy name. Can you say there's never been a day like this day? Christian friends, as we said, let your faith loose tonight. Don't let a thought of doubt. Don't let a thought of confusion. Don't let a thought of anything negative at all come in your life. God has proven He's with us, Kiev. Hallelujah. For
in Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
There's never been a day like this day. To me, there's never been a day like this day. I see, no, there's never been a light that shines so bright as this day. This glorious day.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name tonight.
There's never been a day like this day. To me, there's never been a day like this day. I see there's never been a light.
that shines so bright,
yes,
as the stain. Oh, this glorious day.
Oh, yes, Lord, we profess it tonight. We believe this, Lord.
Oh, there's never been a day like this day. To me, there's never been a day like this day. I see, oh, there's never been a light that shines so bright as this day. This glorious day.
Proclaim it. Proclaim it again tonight with all your soul.
Oh, there's never.
Thank you, Lord.
Been a day.
Praise your name,
like
Jesus.
This day to me. There's never been a day like this day. I see there's never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day.
Just keep playing that. When Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he gained a profession that he believed him to be the Lord. Hallelujah. He was able to profess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Then after being blind so many days, Ananias came by and prayed for him. And he received the Holy Ghost and he possessed this Lord in himself. What did he say? Then I didn't go to them before me. I went to Arabia. And for 3 years, he had a living testimony that he proved he believed this. True, when he came to the apostles, they said, we glorify God in Brother Paul. What was his profession became his possession, became his proclamation. Hallelujah. Christian friends, tonight, I trust first you profess the Word of God. Say amen tonight. I trust you possess the Word of God tonight. And I trust now by faith you can say, Lord, I'm here to proclaim the Word of God tonight. Those you need are healing, why don't you come forward? Any need of healing tonight, come forward. Hallelujah. Any others? Now remember what we just read right before closing. Be simple. Don't make it no harder than what the Word says. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Oh, sweet Spirit, just have your way. And I'm just going to follow the Word simply. You're believers, I'm a believer. Eagle to eagle, faith to faith. As I lay hands, let's all just proclaim right now, Lord, we believe. Lord, we receive. And Lord, we'll proclaim it.
Amen.
We'll be a living testimony. Hallelujah.
So bright as this day.
Jesus, you are a brother.
His glory,
according to your word, hear his prayer. Jesus Christ, precious name. Amen.
Amen.
According
to your word, Lord, heal this brother. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. According to your word, Father, we lay hands on. Heal this sister in Jesus Christ's name. Heavenly Father, according to your word, we lay hands on our brother. Heal him for the glory of God in Jesus Christ's name. Heavenly Father, according to your promised word, heal our brother. Make him well for your glory in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, as we lay hands on our brother, may he be made well for the glory of God in Jesus Christ's name. Heavenly Father, as we lay hands on our sister, may she be made well for your glory in Jesus Christ's precious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, with you. According to your promised word, Lord, as I lay hands, may the Holy Spirit lay hands, make our brother well. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. See, what do I do now? Don't let any lying devil tell you any different than what the promise declares. I am healed. Oh, glory. Oh, glory to God. Worship Him like it's already done, children. Oh, thank you, Lord.
So bright is this day, this glory.
Heavenly Father, to lay on this sister, you know, no limit to space or time with you, Lord. Touch this sister that she's standing for in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for these children. Homes being broke up, and we know that only Satan wants to bring asunder to what you've put together. We pray, Lord, you'll intervene and just have your glory in your way in this situation. Hear this brother's prayers, I agree with you. In Jesus Christ's precious name.
Just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes. He's here, children. Just reach out in faith.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes.
Yes, Lord, by faith, Father.
You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry, and He is passing.
Glory to God.
This moment, your needs to supply. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord.
Oh, Father. By faith, we just reach up and touch your heavenly garment.
Oh, reach out and touch the Lord.
Help in time of need
as He passes by. Oh, you will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Passing by this moment, my needs He'll supply.
Just reach out and touch the Lord
as He goes by.
Sing it again, sing it again.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment.
We believe it, Lord.
Your needs He supply. Now reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
How many by faith can say you've touched the Lord here tonight? Amen. Then let's just proclaim this right here. Yes, right. Give a hand clap of praise. Thank Him for it already. It's already done. Thank you, Lord. 507.
Let go and let God have His wonderful way.
Just let go, Father,
and let God have.
Let Him do it, children.
His way.
He will. He promised. Just let go and let God.
Your sorrows will vanish. Your night turn to day. Just let go and let God have His way. Just let go and let.
Thank you, Lord.
God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows,
it'll vanish. Just let it vanish tonight.
Your night.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Today.
Just let go.
And let God have His way.
Let that be your living testimony. I let go and God had His way.
Oh, let go
and
let God have His wondrous
Lord glory.
Let go and let God have His way. Sorrows will vanish, and your night turns.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, let go and let God have His way.
One more time. I'm trusting You've done it, but just sing it again.
Let go and let God have His wonderful way.
Thank you, Lord.
Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Just give Him a love offering. Just thank Him for what He's done for you here tonight. Just let your faith loose a little bit and say, you know what? I'm just going to believe it's already done. I'm really going to confess. I'm going to live this testimony out. I'm going to live healed after this moment. I'm going to live restored. Hallelujah. It's not a delusion. A delusion's the life you're living now. His word's what's real. Hallelujah. That's right. We'll chase that devil right on out of this place, won't we? He'll tell you face the delusion every time. Why? To make sure you quit believing. But hold on. Be like faithful Abraham. Say, I don't care if I got to wait a year. I don't care if I got to wait 25. I know what God told me here tonight on September 18, 2019 was the truth. Amen. And nothing can take it from me. Amen. And I will not back down from His promises. Amen. I trust God enough to believe Him. He trusts you enough to give you the promise. When you realize that God will not get glory if you don't express it, it'll start to put a desire in your heart to say, you know what, it's time to believe God. Amen. It's time to not confess the negative. What did Brother Bram tell us? Let your confession, how often? Never be negative. Hallelujah. I'm not turning back. Can you say amen? Amen. I've got a way I've decided to go. The Lord picked me for it. Praise the Lord. But I have decided I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen. Can we sing that? If you don't know this, no turning back, but 477. I'm going to play a little bit. I can't. I just feel like playing. I do. Pray for my foot. Maybe I can use it sideways or something. But can we worship the Lord a little bit here tonight? Kia, see you there, Dad.
I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Help me out. Sing it.
The cross before me, the world behind me. Oh, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind. Oh, no, I won't turn back. World, you can take this whole world, but give
yes,
me
Lord.
Hallelujah. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I have started for the kingdom. I have started for the kingdom. Oh, I have started for the kingdom, and I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Though none go with me,
yes, Lord,
still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Follow no turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. Every day I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh yes, I have decided to follow Jesus. I'll never, never turn back. I won't turn back.
One more time.
Oh, I decided to follow Jesus.
Claim it, saints.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Well, I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Yes, Lord.
It's been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, guess what? The prophet told us the move is on, so I think we ought to sing that. Be dismissed on this. God bless you, saints. We love you. But the move is on. God, move through us. Be living testimonies tonight. Amen.
The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. I can hear the rustle in the mulberry trees, and I know the move is on. You got to move on, brother, and move on, sister. This is the moving day. Just move a little closer where the streams are flowing. Move on, rather move on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. I can hear the rustle in the mulberry. Where the streams are flowing, move on, brother, move on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. Oh yeah, the move is on, my Lord, the move is on. I can hear the rustle in the mulberry trees, and I know the move is on. You got to move on, brother. Move on, sister. This is the moving day. Just move a little closer.